Hello, it's Wednesday, February 15th, and you're listening to Wing Radio. I'm Lisa Giuliani.
And I'm Victor Thorne. Welcome to Wing Radio, which can be found at www.wingtv.net.
Today we are very excited because we have a very intriguing guest on our show, Mr. Gene Chapman. Some know him as the American Gandhi. This man has been on a mission for years to obtain an adequate answer to the following question: where is my tax liability within the law? He's also protested and challenged the IRS directly in front of their offices on multiple occasions. He went on, I believe it was a 40-day hunger fast, to challenge the government to answer his question. The government obviously has refused to answer his question, and we want to see what he's up to now. Hello, Gene.
Hi, how are you?
Real good.
Doing good.
Gene's down, we should mention, he's down off of freeway in Birmingham, Alabama, so we're glad you can take some time out of your day, Gene, to visit with us. And to start this interview off, at one point in the recent past, you actually went in front of an IRS building and with the intent of setting yourself on fire because you wanted them to show you your liability to pay a tax to them. So describe to everybody listening today what was going through your mind and what happened when you threatened self-immolation.
Well, that particular fast wasn't about the liability specifically. It was more about the forced utilization of a government control number over my ability to buy and sell labor and property.
Okay.
The death fast that went on in Washington, that was about the income tax liability, and I met with Mr. Terry Lemons on the second day of that death fast with two Treasury agents, and Terry Lemons told me, communications for the IRS, he said, there's no single sentence anywhere that indicates an individual has a tax liability. It's found in various court cases and scattered regulations.
Mm-hmm.
And so on the income tax liability issue, the IRS is pretty well gone away like a thunderstorm in Texas, you know. But the thing that happened in South Carolina was I had attempted to get a job without a Social Security number because I wanted to get completely away from this being counted like cattle, which is one of the three primary attributes of slavery in antiquity.
Mm-hmm.
And I had threatened to self-immolate. Now, self-immolation is a tricky concept because auto-cremation means setting yourself on fire, but we let it be known that we were interested in self-immolation, and so it could have gone to auto-cremation, but self-immolation can include fasting to death, it can include throwing yourself to wild animals, it's throwing yourself to the cold and all kinds of things. So we had a lot of options up our sleeve there, and Dr. Robert Clarkson, of course, was assisting me in that with the Patriot Network, and basically, we got a lot of attention. I got arrested and hauled off to Patrick B. Harris Mental Hospital for 30 days.
So these lengths you're going to, this shows you're serious, aren't you?
Oh, I'm deadly serious about it. In Exodus 10:3, for example, Almighty God asserts on the issue of the Moses and Pharaoh and the children of Israel in Egypt in bondage, Almighty God asserts there to be a direct causal relationship between the people of God being in slavery, which we know from talking to Greek scholars at Bob Jones University and First Baptist Atlanta, and along with my own studies, is the taxation of labor, taxation of property, and counting people like cattle in order to control the taxation of labor and or property.
Mm-hmm.
We have that pretty well written down in stone, that is what slavery is, the primary attributes of slavery at least. And in the Bible, it says, okay, we have a causal relationship, you know, a problem there in Exodus 10:3. In 1 Timothy 1:10, there's a word enslavers, which the Greek scholars like to define as those who impose a taxing of labor as
right.
a property or income tax
well, let me ask
upon
you about
uncondemned
this.
Free persons and are thus under the judgment of the moral law of God. And
okay,
then finally, just to be brief rather than get into all the theological arguments, in 1 Corinthians 7:21 through 23, enslaved Christians are instructed to seek freedom from slavery in verse 21. And it reads in the Greek in verse 22b through 23, it says,
Jane, we got a lot of questions here, so let's...
free is Christ's slave. You free Christians, be categorically not the literal, figurative, involuntary, or voluntary slaves of men, end quote.
Okay, let me ask you about this. We the People Foundation, you're very familiar with them. We went to the Freedom Drive in 2002 that they sponsored. They contend that the federal government lacks any legal jurisdiction to enforce the income tax, that there's no law requiring Americans to pay the tax, and the tax is enforced in a manner that violates the Constitution. They also have called for people to not pay their taxes if they don't receive answers to their questions. Have they received any answers thus far? Have you?
Not to my knowledge, beyond that one conversation with Perry Lemons there in Washington back in 2004. I'm a member of that lawsuit, but, you know, I'm not specifically involved in it, but I'm my name's on it.
Uh-huh.
The one that We the People Congress is involved in. I support Bob Schultz. I'll be with him in April. I think it's the 24th, 25th, and 26th. I'll be with him in Washington there fasting with him on the nation's mall.
Yeah.
But I'm not aware that they've had their answers to their questions.
Considering the government's response or lack of response to your death fast and to your threat to immolate yourself, do you think that this government has any regard for human life, even someone who's willing to die for a cause such as yourself?
Well,
I mean, they were willing to let you do that, right?
That's a loaded question. Mahatma Gandhi talked about nonviolent force, which is what I utilized, being workable when you're dealing with a government that wants to be perceived as moral in the world. And the one concern was that if communists ever overthrew India, that his willingness to give his life for the cause of Indian freedom may not work. Nonviolent force might not work in a communist setting because the communists don't have regard for morality. That's clearly portrayed on page 242 of the Communist Manifesto.
Yeah.
And so I believe that we're dealing with a secular humanist socialist communist government, and they're not necessarily a moral people. They're not interested in morality. They're interested in efficient, ruthless efficiency, if you will.
Yeah. Well, Gene, a lot of people that are morally opposed to the federal income tax, their biggest problem is that if they work at a job where the employer takes the money out of their paycheck before they ever get their hands on it, what do you tell someone like that, and how do they go about combating this tactic, because it seems like the government's always one step ahead of them, taking the money before they have a chance to get their hands on it.
Yeah, Erwin Schiff has a good approach for that. You file exempt on your W-4, W-2, whatever it is, and you put on the back that you filed it under redress and that you didn't even want to file it, but you had to in order to get paid. And then you just don't file any kind of tax return at the end of the year. That's what an IRS employee in Austin told me that outside the IRS building when I was having communications with the IRS back then. They said that you just hacked somebody off in here. That's the reason they're sending you all these letters. They said, what you do is you don't file an income tax return. And Sherry Peel Jackson, a former IRS revenue agent, told me that when I was doing my protest in Atlanta here a year or two ago. And so I've heard that consistently, that you just don't file. And that they'll leave you alone pretty much after that.
But does this mean that the employer won't take any money out of your paycheck for federal income taxes?
Yeah, they won't take Social Security out or anything.
Okay.
And if they're behaving properly. Now, Erwin Schiff argues that it's illegal for them not to obey. There's an affidavit that he has in his book that's now outlawed in the country, the federal mafia, that there's an affidavit. And if you fill that out and turn it into your employer, under the laws and the tax code, they are to obey your affidavit. And, you know, there's two or three different steps you can take. You can get you one of these good lawyers Robert Clarkson's a former lawyer, for example. He'd be a good one at 864-225-3061 in Anderson, South Carolina. These kind of people can help you learn how to maneuver around the system to get out from under it.
Mm-hmm.
I think Clarkson's responsible for untaxing somewhere around 16,000 Americans.
Wow.
You've actually stood out in front of the IRS building and handed out information. You wrote a successful tract called Why IRS Employees Go to Hell When They Die, and you've actually gotten IRS employees to quit their jobs. Is that correct?
That's what they tell me. I've had, when we were in Atlanta, I I first had that material in front of them, and I had we counted 8.5% of the 180 employees in the building confessed to me on the street that they were having moral problems working for the IRS after they worked there. And it's been a long time. I think two of the employees said that they were definitely going to quit their job as a result of reading the material.
Well, that can only be a good thing.
Yeah. Well, when I was looking at some material concerning you, Gene, it seems like we're on the same page because you talk about different degrees of slavery in regard to how much money is taken. And when I wrote about this on numerous occasions, I say that a homeowner now in this day and age is losing from all the various taxes taken out of their paychecks and property taxes anywhere from 48 to 52% of their wages, which in my book makes them halfway towards complete enslavement. So what are your thoughts on that?
Well, a serf, if you've ever read Mr. Hayek's book, The Road to Serfdom, he talks about a serf. And a serf was basically a slave tied to the land in Europe. And I've been told that their tax rate, effective tax rate, was somewhere between 8.5% and 30%. Our effective tax rate in America is 54% right now.
Yep.
And, of course, I do a lot of work against Fidel Castro down in Little Havana. I've done facts down there that have hit news down in the French press and South American stuff and in Cuba, as a matter of fact. And the Bay of Pigs gentlemen tell me that the effective tax rate in Cuba is 90 to 95%. So we're about 36 percentage points from Cuba right now with the exact same tax system.
Unbelievable.
We know that you're involved with a lot of work with informing churches about the immoral tax laws. Tell us about the class action lawsuit that's going on.
Yeah, I developed over a period of time in studying the Bob Schultzes and the Irwin Schiffs and so forth, and of course my 10 years of studying for the ministry at Baylor University and Dallas Baptist University and so forth. I developed some thoughts on it about slavery and, of course, some of the theological arguments I made there just with you. And we have Archbishop J.M. Brown III, Ph.D., with the West African Free Church, has signed on as a co-complainant. We have also, as of last night, a very prominent black bishop of an African-American church here in Alabama. And probably one of the wealthiest black churches in all of Alabama is an 80-year-old patriarch of the community, the black community, in both Alabama and Mississippi. And he's very excited and has signed on as a co-complainant. And anyway, we assert under the class action that the United States government has adopted a state religion called secular humanist socialist communism. And, of course, that's a First Amendment argument, that Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or restricting the free exercise thereof. Of course, if you read the Communist Manifesto, page 242 and 243, the function of the Ten Planks, in great part, is to overthrow the Christian religion, page 242.
Mm-hmm.
And so, it says, but communism abolishes eternal truths, it abolishes all religion and all morality. So anytime you see an attack on religion in secular public schools, Tenth Plank, anytime you see an attack on morality, like a pornography, everybody can't seem to figure out how to outlaw pornography, but they can sure get the Bible out of public schools.
Yeah.
So what you're watching is a socialist communist attack upon the Christian religion.
Let me ask
and
you this.
And, of course, that goes on through the judiciary system, the tax system, the public school system, and we believe also the United Nations and the Democrat Party. And what we're requesting as a relief is to allow Christians to opt out of what we believe is a slave religion.
Uh-huh.
And it's an interesting read, page 242 and 243 of the Communist Manifesto. It's telling of what's going on in America.
You've spoken in front of large groups of people. I'd like you to tell us what the reaction of the public is to the things that you have to say about the tax movement, and also, what do you think is the status of the tax honesty movement today? Is it growing?
The people on the street, as far as the theological arguments, they're stuck on render to Caesar. They've been barked at so long by the government on this render to Caesar business. Of course, America's a nation that was designed to not have a dictator. And so we have that problem to overcome. And the preachers are coming around, especially the black community. The white preachers are still studying the issue. We have about 1,500 copies of the lawsuit going out to preachers this week, as a matter of fact.
That's great.
And yeah. Mostly the white community. And then, anyway, the status of the movement,
Right.
The idea that we have a 16th Amendment that the government can't show us is even ratified. You've got my situation where I'm in Washington, D.C., being told there's no single sentence anywhere that indicates an individual has a tax liability, and yet we have a government locking people up over these issues.
Right, right.
Well, since you mentioned some leaders who have been jailed, in the last year or so, there's been three very famous cases. One up about Dick Simkinen down in Texas. There was Larkin Rose in Philadelphia. And Joe Bannister, I believe, out in California. Very briefly, because we're running out of time, Gene, what are your impressions of those three recent tax cases?
Dick Simkinen is going to be doing a front-page article for our next newspaper, the Slave Freedom Journal. That'll be coming out around the June time for the July 4th edition.
Okay.
And I'll be having a July 4th meeting up in Washington, as a matter of fact. Dick Simkinen's situation was that he was a Christian deacon, a deacon in a church, didn't want to be an enslaver, 1 Timothy 1:9-10. And, Joe Bannister was actually acquitted. He was a Boy Scout growing up, and that pretty well blew the government's charge that he was some kind of a crook out of the water. And then, Erwin Schiff, of course, his arguments have been challenged by the government. There's something in our paper that just came out that someone called Bob Graham Sr. on the phone a few months ago and reported that they were a government-paid jury, a former IRS employee, I believe, or Treasury agent employee, and they're hiring these people and stacking the juries with these former government employees, according to this phone call.
Yeah,
and they're paying them $200 a day to sit on the juries and $2,000 bonuses for guilty pleas, according to Mr. Graham. And we're trying to research that right now through demanding that our congressmen research these jurors and make sure that they're on the up and up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that, what, the average juror gets like $12 a day and these people are getting $200 a day? Pretty neat. Listen, how do people get hold of your information? Do you have a website?
SlaveFreedom.com, SlaveFreedom.com, or you can always call me at 972-872-0784. I'm always happy to talk to people if I'm in the place where the phone works.
Well, Gene, if somebody's listening to Wing TV today and they like what you're hearing, and they call you up and they say, you know what, I'm sick and tired of feeding the beast. I no longer want to contribute to this corrupt system. They say, what are the first two or three things I can do to stop giving my money to the federal government? What would you tell them?
Well, if you own your own business, you just stop giving them 1099s and stop fooling with them. And just tell them that my religion forbids me to be a slave if you're a Christian, 1 Corinthians 7:23. That's what I tell them. When they came after me a few years ago, I just looked them in the eye and said, my religion forbids me to be a slave. And they said, well, where's your books and records? And I said, if I gave you my books and records, that would be me assisting you in enslaving me, and that would be a violation of my religion. I assert my First and Fifth Amendment right not to be a slave.
Okay, and what if they don't?
Your socialist communist attack upon my Christian religion.
And what if
they
don't?
Went away like a Texas thunderstorm, like I said before. So, file your W-2s or whatever, exempt, insist that your employer not withholding. If your employer's not going to play along and do right and obey your moral conviction that you're not allowed to be a slave, then go find another job.
Yeah. And what?
You know, I realize I'm a truck driver and there's 50,000 jobs out here I could get any day of the week. But, you know, you just have to suffer for Christ sometimes.
Yeah.
Well, we really appreciate you being on the show, and I know you're stopped on the side of the freeway, Gene, so we thank you very much, and we wish you every success in the future. Keep us posted on what's going on with your lawsuit.
Yeah, and we're going to be making some trips to D.C. this year, so get a hold of us, or I know you know Rick Ryder up there in New England. Let him know, and maybe we'll our paths will meet somewhere down in D.C. along the way.
Yeah, Rick said that he's going to be coming down for our July 4th Slave Freedom Event, our second annual Slave Freedom Event.
Ah,
and we'll be down there passing out materials July 2nd, 3rd, and 4th from 1 to 5 p.m. And, of course, we'll be staying in hotels together and having breakfast. And really, it's just a lot of fun to go watch the fireworks. And of course, there'll be a million people there, so we'll be passing out our materials there, too.
Can people find out about that event on your website?
Sure, they can call me on the phone.
Okay.
And we have the newspaper that goes out as well.
Well, very good. It's been a pleasure talking to you, and I know that from 2 months, 2 months from today is that dreaded April 15th, and the more you find out about the world and the corrupt dealings that our government officials do, the harder it is to keep forking money over to them. So, Gene, we're glad you're standing up and you're just somebody.
He's fearless.
Yeah, you're an example for all of us because the lengths you go to, it shows that you're serious about what you're doing. So we just want to thank you for coming on Wing TV today.
Well, thank you. I think with all these black bishops of these churches getting involved in this lawsuit now, these steeple churches are getting involved finally, I think you're going to find that the church is going to put the government of the United States on its backside real quick.
Well, Gene, keep up the great work. And
keep us posted on that.
That's right. Take care, okay?
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
We'll be back tomorrow on Wing TV. Until then, keep your eyes open because there's a lot going on. And we have some interesting things to talk about tomorrow, don't we?
Yes, we do.
There's always something bubbling. So, folks, we'll see you tomorrow.
It never, ever ends. Take care. We'll see you tomorrow.